Dick Morris has written a plethora of best-selling books, and his latest is Rogue Spooks, The Intelligence War on Donald Trump. Good morning, Dick Morris.
Hey, Jim. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, would you give Gus Weil my regards?
I will.
I used to work with him and his former partner, Raymond Strother, and we would hang out in their office listening to opera.
Well, I'll certainly mention that, and you have worked some campaigns in Louisiana and many other states.
I worked for Buddy Romer when he defeated Edwards.
1987, just 30 years ago.
Oh, my God, you have to say that? Yeah.
877-217-5757 is your number wherever you are, and if you're in the Baton Rouge area, 297-5633, and the email is talk@talklouisiana.org. Well, through the years, Dick, before we get to the current work, you have evolved somewhat. You were a Clinton defender, and you worked for the man and did some fine work, and then suddenly you became a critic of the Clintons, and now you are a defender of the embattled president we have. What's been your personal odyssey?
Well, I became a Republican in 1988 and 89, because I was so impressed with Reagan's performance, and Clinton really hired me in part because I knew how to work with the Republicans, because he had a Republican Congress suddenly to deal with after he was defeated in the elections of 94. So that was there, and then I had a personal odyssey of a spiritual sort after 1997, after I left the White House in flames.
Well, you left Bill Clinton twice. You left him as governor, and
he fired me twice, put it that way.
He did fire you twice, but involved in an actual physical confrontation, didn't it?
Yeah, but listen, I want to talk about my book instead.
Well, I understand that. But now you're a defender of President Trump. Do you still like the president despite what's going on now?
I love him. I think he's great. And by the way, I've known him since I was a child. My father was his lawyer, and I knew him when I was a kid. And I think he's terrific. And I believe there is a coup d'état right now going on to oust him. And I think it's a coup led. But since your reference was Charlotte, let me just deal with that for a second. There is nothing urgent about taking down a statue that sat on the lawn for 165 years, and it is being fomented and injected deliberately to create racial polarization in the United States by Obama people and their allies who want racial tensions to flare so that they can win the support of the African-American vote, even at a time when the economy is really turning around.
Now, but it wasn't Obama who sent David Duke to Charlottesville, though.
No, of course not. But I think it was predictable that if you take a symbolic cause like that, dredged out of the past, literally, that you're going to attract the crazies to go after you. And it's an old propaganda trick to provoke the crazies, provoke a street fight, and then blame the other side. I hate David Duke. I ran two campaigns that defeated David Duke in Louisiana, and I believe that what he represents is terrible. And I think that he wants this as much as the liberals do, because it gives him more money, it gives him visibility, it makes people realize that he's still alive. And I think that is a deliberate strategy to create a confrontation to benefit the people going against Trump. Now, I think Trump mishandled it. I think he should have been as explicit as I've just been in going after Duke. But I think, on the other hand, who gives a damn about a statue? What do we need to do, troll the waterfront to find another issue to divide Americans? We have enough as it is.
A man who's been arrested, Mr. Fields, drove his car into a crowd and killed a lady.
He
was one of the people on the right who was protesting.
Yeah, I know. I don't defend either of them, and he should go to jail for life. And Duke should be arrested on conspiracy charges in connection with that. But I think that this is not a fight that America needs at this point. So my book is Rogue Spooks, The Intelligence War on Donald Trump. And I believe that there has been there is now a coup d'etat going on in Washington to oust Trump. And it's led by the intelligence community, the liberal media, and, of course, the special prosecutor. And I think it started when Obama took office and decided to focus on making the CIA and the FBI left-wing instruments, liberal agencies. He fired almost 60% of the non-career employees. The people who interrogated the Guantanamo inmates were replaced by the lawyers who represented the Guantanamo inmates. And you created, and Brennan, who actually voted communist in 1980, he said so, Carter wasn't liberal enough for him, was put in charge of the CIA and Holder in charge of the FBI. When it became clear that Trump would win the Republican nomination, Obama's people and Hillary's people got together and paid $160,000 to Fusion, a negative research firm that hired Christopher Steele, a former British spy, to try to prove collusion between Trump and Putin. And Steele produced this dossier that was absolutely a load of garbage, and it was could easily be proven to be that. They said the central actor in arranging this coordination was Michael Cohn, Trump's lawyer, and Cohn had never been to Prague where the meetings supposedly took place. He hadn't been out of the country in that whole period. His passport showed it. And all of the charges, prostitutes and hotel rooms and all that, were totally fiction. So nobody would publish it. Nobody touched it. And before the election, they could not get it into print. So after the election, they get really desperate because Trump has won. And they give it to John McCain, who takes it to Comey, the head of the FBI. Now, Comey had already seen it 2 months before and knew that it was fiction. In fact, he had offered to pay Steele $50,000 to take it the next step and verify the charges, and Steele couldn't do it. But Comey, now that he's presented with this document that he knows to be fraudulent, but it's by a U.S. senator, he has the pretext he needs to give it to Obama and give it to congressional leaders for one purpose. He knows full well that it'll go from there into the media, and it finally gets published.
Okay, but Comey is the guy who many believe cost Hillary Clinton the election. After all, well, 11 days before the election, he announced this investigation of the laptop of Huma Abedin and the emails that were found on there, and then suddenly, a few days before November 8th, he says there was nothing there. So yeah, that didn't help the Clinton cause, did it?
Well, Hillary claims that it killed her, and so does Bill. I don't believe that. I think that the statement at the end was more important. But whether I'm not going to go into psychoanalyzing Comey's motives. I am saying that he deliberately let this dossier see the light of day, knowing that it was fraudulent. Then I think the leaders of this coup decided to take out the two guys who could stop it. Mike Flynn, who was being tapped to head the intelligence community, who could have nipped this coup in the bud, and they sidelined him with these charges of having spoken to the Russian ambassador, something he was fully allowed to do 3 weeks afterwards if he had been, when he took office. And also Jeff Sessions, who they also sidelined. Now they're going after Bannon, who's sort of the third leg of that Trump stool. With those guys out of the way, Comey and Holder and Brennan called on the guys who they had embedded in justice in the FBI and the CIA and said, stay at your posts, don't leave, don't resign when Trump comes in. And 1,000 of them, after Trump was elected, were moved from at-pleasure appointments to civil service jobs, so they could not be removed. And then they were played like an orchestra, leaking to try to prove collusion after the discrediting of the dossier. And the big story was 2 weeks after Trump took office, the New York Times reported above the fold that the FBI actually had overheard Trump campaign people speaking with Russian intel operatives and plotting this collusion. And it turned out to be untrue. Comey said it was fiction 4 months later. And so this whole thing was orchestrated by the FBI and the CIA. Then, do we have time to continue?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a 90-second break, and we'll come back with Dick Morris. The book is Rogue Spooks. Dick, did I hear you right? Do you don't believe there's anything to this Russian connection with the Trump campaign?
Oh, of course not. Comey said that. In fact, the station chief of the CIA just said yesterday, he's been station chief for 5 years, that he has seen no evidence of any collusion.
Well, what about the raiding of Paul Manafort's home and
well, that's all.
What about the back channel that Jared Kushner tried to set up with the Russians? What about the meeting with the Russian emissary involving Trump Jr.?
Let me go one at a time. The raid on Manafort's home is an effort to squeeze Manafort because of his likely corrupt activities in the Ukraine to get him to turn on Trump, even with stuff that isn't true. The meeting at Trump Tower concerned the Magnitsky Act, which is a wonderful law that sanctions Russian officials who tortured and killed Sergei Magnitsky, an investigative lawyer who found Putin guilty of huge corruption and had nothing to do with this collusion. The other thing you cited was... there was something else you listed.
Well, I mentioned the meeting with the Russian emissary, the raiding of Manafort's home, and the back-channel communication that Jared Kushner
Those back-channel communications were about financing Kushner's building in Manhattan. The Russians have a lot of money, and he's got a mortgage due, I think, in May of next year, and he's desperate for financing on it. 666 Fifth Avenue, the top of the sixes. I live in Manhattan. And that's what that was about. I mean, if Trump has Russian dressing on his salad, they're saying it's collusion. But let me continue with this narrative, Jim. Then Comey goes in to meet with Trump several times, 7 or 8 times. By contrast, Bill Clinton met with Free only twice during his 8-year presidency. And at each meeting, Comey comes in, and Trump says, look, what are you doing to investigate lone wolf terrorism? What are you doing to deal with opioids? What are you doing with drugs? The stuff you're supposed to do. And Comey says, well, I'm very busy investigating Russian collusion. And he says, there is nothing there. I didn't do anything like this. For God's sakes, get on with the mission I appointed you for. And Comey yells obstruction of justice, writes it all up in a memo, leaks the memo, gets fired, and lays the bait and deliberately sacrifices himself to get Mueller appointed special prosecutor.
All right. Ann on Blue Bonnet. Ann, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Dick Morris. Hi, Ann.
Good morning. I am really disappointed in your show having someone on who has journalists abilities like the National Enquirer. I've heard
All right.
so many.
Well, Dick is a respected pollster, and he is a legitimate guest. And I've had many guests on from the other side, if you've heard the show, Ann. So I appreciate your comments, and I understand that you may like some guests and may not like others. But I think Dick Morris certainly has a place at the table in American discourse. And Dick, these people you're talking about, Comey and Mueller, that they are Republicans, I think. Why in the world would they want to hurt President Trump?
Because they're part of this permanent establishment, which is called the deep state, which is permanent appointees of government, the bureaucrats, who feel it's their country and their government. And that when a guy like Trump comes in or a guy like Flynn comes in, who's going to upset the apple cart and upset their domination, they react horribly. Let me give you an example. When I worked for Clinton, he and I met, and we discussed his idea, which was to label the axis of evil, the same people that Bush labeled axis of evil. The president didn't use that phrase, but that's what we were talking about. So in his instruction, I went away and wrote a speech for him to give at Memorial Day at Arlington, and that labeled North Korea and Iran and those countries. And I get a visit from the head of the National Security Council, who comes down like a ton of bricks with from Mount Sinai with the tablets, not Lake, his deputy, the permanent people there, and says, "Well, I saw the speech. What are you doing writing a speech about Memorial, about the foreign policy on Memorial Day? That speech is given by the president, and we write it, and we figure out what needs to be said. It's our speech, and if you don't butt out, we're going to say that a political hack is running foreign policy for the country."
All right.
So I went to the president, and I said, "What do we do?" And he said, "Back down. Don't fight these guys." And then we did it. We got it out later, about 2 or 3 years later. These are permanent government types who believe that Donald Trump is the epitome of everything that they dislike. Many are Republicans, many are Democrats. But in choosing Mueller, because we have to continue with this narrative to make people understand it, Mueller and Comey are an item. Together they prosecuted Martha Stewart. Together they prosecuted Stephen Hatfield, who was accused wrongly of being the anthrax terrorist. The real guy was caught. Hatfield committed suicide. And it was clear, it's clear from the beginning that they are an item. It's like a tag team in the wide world of wrestling. And Mueller has hired
now,
seven people.
Now, most people say Mueller is a straight arrow, that he's a solid guy. Now, you're one of the few people who's saying otherwise.
He's hired seven people who contributed to Hillary and the Democratic Party.
So did Donald Trump. He contributed to Hillary when she was a U.S. senator.
Come on, in the 2016 election I'm talking about. I'm not discussing the Civil War.
Well, it's Trump. It's Trump who says that people contribute for various reasons, and he contributed to Hillary Clinton himself.
He also appointed as one of his deputies Janet Rhee, R-H-E-E, who is Hillary's lawyer at the Clinton Foundation. And he's staffing up his thing with entirely people who are designed to get Donald Trump. And that is the last phase of this coup d'etat. And that's what we're facing. That's what we're looking at. And we need to understand it. And my book, Rogue Spooks, lays it out. And, you know, I'm not some kind of tin hat conspiracy theorist.
Do you think Trump will,
President
Trump will,
I
know you were, but do you think President Trump will fire Robert Mueller?
I hope he does not. I think that would be a mistake. What I think he should do is appoint a special prosecutor through Sessions to investigate the leaks from the FBI, the CIA, and from the special prosecutor's office. Mueller's chief investigator, or Mueller, I guess you're correct. Mueller's chief investigator was just in effect fired, and I believe it was for leaking. He was the head of counterespionage at the FBI, and now he's basically doing the dishes and the laundry at the Human Resources Office.
Dan downtown. Dan, please be brief. You're on with Dick Morris.
Yeah, Mr. Morris, if Trump has done nothing wrong, as he claims, then would you agree he has nothing to fear and should voluntarily show his tax information, which really put all these liberal and moderate accusers in their place?
All right.
Hillary Clinton
delivered 39 years of tax returns. Why hasn't Donald Trump done so?
Yeah, Trump should have done so and should do so now. I will point out to you that when I worked for Hillary Clinton and Bill, I urged them to release their tax returns in Arkansas, and they released all but 1980. And I went to them and said, "What's about 1980? And they said, "We can't release that." And then it came out in 1993 that the reason she couldn't release it was it had the information about her futures earnings of $100,000 for an investment of $1,000.
Right, and that one has now been released. I remember the guy's name was Red Bone.
Yeah, and T-Bone, yeah. And she waited until 93 because that was the statute of limitations.
All right. Well, Dick Morris, I'm sure it will be a bestseller,
Jim.
Rogue Spooks. It's always good to talk with you. Thank you for joining us
today.